Hello, everybody. My name is Jean Street, and along with my co-host, Becky Wagaman, we want to welcome you to our podcast, Love and Lead Parenting. If you've been a listener over the past 6 weeks, you may remember that our conversations are all about invitations. In that first series, we talked about our invitation to the rhythms of life, to really think about what life is like and how to manage it with our kids as well as for ourselves. You can listen to any of those if you missed them, wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, it's Love and Lead Parenting. Today starts our next series, and the invitation we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is the invitation to celebrate. And we know life is so full of have-tos. We have to get a job. We have to take care of our kids. We have to take a shower. So many things we have to do that life gets busy and sometimes gets a little bit hard. I want to remind all of us that there are always things that we can celebrate. Psalm 95 says this, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods." Even on those days that are difficult, we can always find something to be thankful about because our God is a great God and he calls us to be in relationship with him. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about our families, our family values, and how to make memories that we want to remember, things that we can celebrate with our kids. And this whole series is going to culminate on October 27th, and our podcast is going to be about holidays, how to celebrate them. And we would really like to be interacting with you during this series. And so I want to encourage you to visit our blog space as well, which is called loveandleadparenting.com. And you can comment on different things. You can ask questions about some of the things we present in the podcast. I especially encourage you to interact with us before our holidays one on October 27th. We would love to hear from you. We would love to know what you're looking forward to about the upcoming holiday season, or maybe what the thing you're least looking forward to for the holiday season. We're going to be talking about how to get through the holidays successfully, happily, celebrating instead of dreading. We're going to have a lot of great things to talk about, a lot of great things to share, conversations and invitations, and we invite you to come along with us. If you like this podcast, please talk about it to your friends, to other people maybe in your church, to encourage them that they can find it as well. And we're so looking forward to journeying with you. Welcome back to Love and Lead Podcast. I'm here with Becky Wagaman and I'm Jean Street, and we are welcoming you to our conversation today about family values. We feel it flows very well from our topic of 2 weeks ago. We talked about long-term parenting, how we really want to think of a future that we want for our children when they become adults and what we do in order to make that happen. We talked about how we need to have goals in mind to reach those things that we desire for our children, for ourselves, for our families. And so this idea of family values flows very well from that conversation. So Becky, let me ask you, when I say family values, what comes to mind?
Sure. Well, it's interesting to think on it on both levels. I find myself, as we do this, thinking when I was growing up as a child, what would I say my family values were? And then what were the family values I did as a parent? So I'm going to answer it both ways, if that's okay.
That's great.
I think growing up, And our family values were unspoken. Probably it's more how you live them. But growing up, we had a family value of eating around the dinner table. And it probably was more culturally how life was done at that time. I feel like when I went to friends' houses, we ate around the dinner table. And I bring that up only because nowadays I don't know how common that is. Mm. And so I like to just put that in there as encouragement to families that that's a great value to hold together. As a parent and raising my daughter, you know, we had a unique situation. I was a single mom with an only child. And so when I think of family values that I was intentional with, one of them was really being connected with others in relationship. I didn't want the feeling of it's just us two taking on the world, although it certainly seemed like that in a lot of ways when you're a single parent. I mean, you bring your kid with you to a lot of places. And so while we had that, we also had an opportunity to sit around the tables of many different close friends that maybe we wouldn't have had if we were a family of five or six. But since there were two of us, it was easy to invite us, easy to enfold us in. So I feel like we've been blessed with an expansive relationship network that is a value of ours. The second one, that's just always been core to who I am, is sharing. Sharing with other people. I feel like being grateful for what we have, recognizing what we have is a gift. It's not an entitlement. So whatever we have, to be grateful, and then how do we share it with others? That's probably my biggest mantras, other than we're going to be late if you don't get ready. That's just a side note. That's kind of funny. But so I always looked for opportunities to walk through gratefulness as a family, but also then how could we share it? So ways of serving, ways to being out in the community, giving to others, helping Natalie know that not everybody has the things we assume, a table to sit around. You know, we would go on outreaches and they'd open their doors. We'd bring them food. They didn't even have a table to sit around. So those are the types of values that come to mind when you talk about what are our family values.
As I'm listening to you, it strikes me that your family values made your family unique. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking too about other families that I've known that are very unique in their own way. And I wonder if those were purposefully built out of their values or if it just kind of happened, unspoken values. There was one family that had just this beautiful, beautiful home. It was probably the nicest home I had ever seen, with a manicured yard and just this patio. Everything was lovely, and they never had anyone over. Mm. It was a very closed society. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder what their value is to just be themselves and kind of circle the wagons and keep to themselves, or if their value was to make sure everything was neat and tidy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but it was an interesting, I had never encountered that with a family before. There was another family that I don't know about anybody else's church world, but in ours, when people would have, like their two-year-old would have a birthday, the whole family would invite a whole other family. Like they're just these huge child birthdays. Mm-hmm. And my friend who was invited to these parties with her young children, they would go and they would not take a gift. And one day their son became cognizant of that. And he said, why don't we ever take a gift to the person having the birthday? And the mom didn't know how to answer him. She felt like maybe they were he might thought they were selfish or something like that. And it wasn't it at all. So I said to her, what is it that you do when you go to those parties? And she said, well, as a family, we pick out a card specifically for that child t- together. I said, what a wonderful family value. What a wonderful family identity that you have. Just explain that very thing to your son. And then that's who they were. And they all felt very proud about that.
Yes. I love that, how it does feed into our uniqueness, which I feel like is a theme we've talked about in this podcast, of not maybe trying to keep up with others in comparison, which is always seems to be a part of our kids see us and see the world that way. We can see it even as adults, like comparing how we do things. So when we talk about family values, what I'm hearing is like who we really are and how are we comfortable in our skin as a family.
I for me, again, when my children were little, we had a value that I did not work outside the home, or my husband didn't. We would kind of take turns who was going to work outside the home, because we had a value that our kids would not go to daycare. And I am pro daycare. Don't hear me saying that. Just when my kids were little, we had that value. I know of another family whose value was she had to work outside the home. The mom did and the dad did. It made them better parents to be able to be outside the home. And so that was their value, and they chose to live that way. And so I think what we're trying to get across, maybe listeners, what we want you to think about is, what are your family values? How can you figure out what makes your family unique? What is your family identity? Because it's not just about people. God builds families, and He's the one who decided that you would have the children that you have. And so what is it that makes you guys tick? I think about, for so many people, I know they really have, it would be a spoken value of faith, of going to church, but I'm not sure that that value is lived out very much. Did you find that also, Becky, whether growing up or as a parent, having your values match your behavior?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest thing for all of us, what we know or desire, and then that gap between what we do and what we actually live out, that there's a gap. That's why doctors smoke. Doctors are overweight. I mean, they know. And yet that gap between what we know or desire, and then when it really comes into living it out in life, is to me the biggest gap we always face. So I love this opportunity to pause with a good question and then ask ourselves, how can that be lived then? Like, what works for our family in that? And knowing that it doesn't have to be what you're doing with your family that's going to fit mine. But if we can pause long enough with these questions and sit with it and then see what I can do right here, is the greatest gift of all.
Yeah, that's so important to figure out, to make sure our values are seen by how we're living it out. And if we are having those discrepancies, to take the time to see where those places are and maybe make some some changes, make some different choices. I think too, the other thing about family values is finding ways to remember them. Now, I'm a parent of adult children, and something that often happens is something that was very important to me when my kids were little. And I'd say, like, we used to go camping and fishing a lot when they were little, and it was very important to us to have those outdoor experiences. And so talking to my adult children, I would say, oh, do you remember when we went to this place? And sometimes they say no. And I think, how can you not remember that? And I think why they don't remember it is because we didn't place a memory marker there. We didn't put something in the sand to say, remember this, like put a pin in it. Today, it's often very easy to do that because all you need to do is take a picture. And so many of our memories are picture-based. Don't remember if I actually remember the thing when I was little, but I remember the picture of the thing.
Absolutely.
When I was little.
And I'm going to jump in here because my phone does this wonderful thing that like 4 years ago today, my photos bring up memories on its own. Gina, I've actually enjoyed that feature because I feel like I have forgotten sometimes the moments we have had along the way and what happened. And it's a perfect opportunity as a parent of an adult child. I'll send that photo on to her sometimes to say, oh, remember, and I'll make the memory marker with that. Like how I recently we had one with her and a friend, and oh, she's been such a lifelong friend. So grateful. So I could group text that. And then both of them got to enjoy that moment again, as well as myself.
Oh,
so I just wanted to jump in because we are taking photos on our phones and they are accessible. So when those come up, like name it.
Yes.
What's happening there that makes it a precious photo to you, right?
And sometimes we have to manufacture those. Those of you who are listening who have young children, you're going to need to, and I know this is hard, but you're going to need to take some more pictures so you have those memory markers show up automatically. You don't have to do hardly any work for those to happen. Other times we might need to force it a little bit more. Let's say we're so good at remembering when our children take their first step or what their first word is, or maybe when they lost their first tooth. Those are noteworthy things. Their first teacher in school. But there's some other things, depending on what your family values are, that you might want to mark for future memory. If, for instance, being an outdoorsman, maybe fishing and boating and camping, and those things are a family value, you're going to want to take a picture of that first fish that your child catches, even if it's only a little one-inch minnow, but to mark that for them. Maybe your daughter loves to sing, but she's not very good. It doesn't matter. Videotape her singing sometime and keep that as a precious thing for when she gets older and someday life is going to become hard. She might forget that she had a love of singing, and you can share that with her, and that can bring life again. So whatever your values are, you can start looking for opportunities to make some memories. And just the way our minds work, because we get so full of so much information, we need to be purposeful in somehow marking those occasions. I remember a few years ago, we did a seminar, I guess it was, called Memory Markers, where we encouraged parents to make a great big poster of the things in their lives, in their family's life, in their experience, with their values. What are the things that were going to be important to them? Make a poster and leave spaces for pictures or for ideas. And so one family, I loved this. They wanted to be sure to mark when their child learned their first Bible verse of all things and when they were baptized and just some things more in the spiritual realm that they would tend to forget. And young adults tend to forget they ever did those things sometimes. It's just comes out of our desire of passing on our values to the next generation.
Sure. And most of you probably, I'm guessing, have done the mark on the wall as you grow taller, right? And you put the names. I've seen that in a lot of houses. So it's things like that that we don't even have to think about it. And it's not hard because we grew up, most of us grew up with that one, it seems like, when I go in people's houses. So thinking of that type of idea, but in a different ways that you, that continues a value. Notice what, you know, you talked about what individual family members might like, whether it be fishing or singing. I was thinking, I must be on a food roll today, but
just hungry.
Yeah. I was thinking about how much my daughter loved pancakes. So like noticing is so helpful in this. So like noticing what your family really likes. Is there a certain food that you like? Well, that becomes the special Saturday breakfast we always have. Or, you know, and then you make Mickey Mouse pancakes, and then you make chocolate chip pancakes, and then you make it with the bacon smiley face. Like there's so many ways that we can work around that, but that is, you know, in the behind way, that's working through our family value of togetherness, being connected in the kitchen, being back around that table together and having fun, which I would say is another great family value that you should have. But figuring out what fun is, you know, maybe it's a particular TV show that everybody just starts cracking up and laughing at. Like, what are those values and how do you keep them alive? Maybe mm-hmm. that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just again, by being purposeful, we go through life so quickly. We mm-hmm. just go from experience to experience mm-hmm. to experience with no time to let those things settle and find a place in our long-term memory. Mm-hmm. Everything is just mm-hmm. kind of kept in short-term because we're on to the next thing so quickly.
Right.
And I just notice when I read the Bible also, there's so many times when God is telling the Israelites to remember something. Everything is the retelling of the Exodus story and put up this stone to remember this great thing that happened. And there's such an importance in remembering and being reminded in our memories. And I think God in his goodness to us knows our human brains are not really good at remembering often. And so has given us reason to mark things, to remember this. I mean, I grew up one of six kids, four of us. When I was born, my sister was one, my brother was two, and my brother was three. So four of us right in a row. And then 7 years later, another brother. And then 7 years later, another brother. And so the first four of us, we grew up together. And we have so many of the same memories. There can be a tree at my mom and dad's house that we see it. And we remember all the picnics we had under that tree. And it was so important. And it gives us that feeling of continuity and of belonging and of meaning. My poor younger, one of my younger brothers says he has almost no memories from childhood. He just doesn't have any. Now that could be something to be said about him, but it's also, I think, because as wonderful as my parents were, they weren't intentional about making those memorable times.
I love that, Jean. And it does, maybe it's the taking the time to smell the roses in life, like pausing enough to really be present in our moments, like enjoying what that day, what that celebration, you had talked about birthdays, like what does that child mean to you? Remembering that day, remembering it with them and getting to celebrate, you know, I remember the day you were born and I why we named you this, or ways that can be repeated, I guess, is what I'm thinking, and that rhythms of life type of idea.
Thinking about celebrations too, thinking about baby showers, and I don't know what the current view of them is, but I know that a few years ago, it definitely was a mom of a first baby got a baby shower and then maybe not for the subsequent children.
Right.
And I've always been very sad at that idea. And I still hear it once in a while now. I understand that baby showers are to bless the mom to be with all the gifts that she might need for the baby. That's not really the purpose of them anymore. Moms pretty much just go get what they want and what they're going to need. I love the idea of celebrating the new child coming into the world. And I think about, not that the child can remember this, but the parent can as a memory marker to tell the child how wanted they were, how anticipated they were. The first child, there's always the joke that there's so many photos and videos taken of the first child, and each subsequent child gets half as much. Being number four in my family of origin, there's two pictures of me as a baby. One's only the back of my head. So that holds true for what happens. But how different would it be if each child knew that their birth was celebrated when they came, that they were anticipated, that they were wanted, that there was just as big of a party for them entering the world as for an older sibling?
Yeah. Okay, so here's what I'm wondering. What you had talked earlier about, like, those early milestones of the first step, the first word. Let's look at the kind of the length of our child's life. What are some of those milestone celebrations that we can name or mark, Jean? So birthdays, that's one we've been talking about. That's a great opportunity to think, how do we make these memory markers in their lives?
Birthdays are huge.
Values. What other type of milestones do we have in our families?
Well, I know there's lately graduation is a big thing, whether it's from preschool or kindergarten or fifth grade or
eighth grade.
Celebrating another year of school, I think, is very important, very valuable. Just the end of anything, like the end of high school, the end of junior high, the end of college. There's certain milestones like that are natural. And I think we might think, don't need to celebrate those, but I'm wondering how much more enriched a life would be if they were celebrated. First job.
Sure. Well, and I think if I'm honest, sometimes you can focus on everything else about the celebrations than what you really want to as a parent. Like, is there going to be enough food there?
Oh,
like when
you
talk about graduation, it's stressful. People are getting their houses ready. Are we going to have enough food? And we focus on all the good parts of it, but are we focusing on the essential parts of celebrating that milestone?
Right.
And how can we do that?
I watched a funny YouTube video one time of, it's adults now, but it was their current picture versus their high school graduation picture.
Oh.
They were so comical. They were just so funny, the change. But I thought, how wonderful that those parents took those pictures for those adults then to have. I mean, no matter how funny the picture is, it's a delight in order to have that, the feeling of being honored. So be sure to take pictures. That's more important than a big enough cake.
Yeah.
The words that we use to bless our children are more important than the guest list.
Yes.
And you might consider, I mean, we can celebrate anything and everything. You can celebrate the first time a child goes down the slide by themselves. Especially if you have a very introverted child, the first time they invite a friend over. Just numerous things. First time they write their own name.
Right. Right. I love it. And celebration is just makes life more fun. Let's be honest. It's less work if we can find ways to celebrate in those big milestones, but also in the everyday uniqueness of your family and the children in your family. As we close today, Jean, what do you most want our listeners to walk away with as we talk about, we've talked about family values, holding those unique to yourself, creating those memory markers?
I think because we've been talking all these weeks, it's been kind of the more difficult parts of parenting about the anxiety and a calendar that's too full and too busy and getting the rhythms right and some discipline and long-term parenting, this idea of celebrating, of just enjoying every day that God has given us, enjoying each person in the family that God has given us. I think trying to be, and we mentioned this in a previous podcast, but being more positive instead of negative in our outlook is just going to enrich everyone's life.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel it too, even in getting to do this podcast, finding the fun in parenting. It's not all work. So that's our invitation. This is your invitation this week, everyone, to have fun, enjoy, and make memories with your kids.